Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Quarterback who was wildly inaccurate coming out of college and unbelievably reckless with the football has become now a quarterback who we haven't had in the league since 1970, because that's the last time you'll find somebody who fumbled as little and threw as few interceptions and took as few sacks, negative plays from a quarterback, as this one. Josh Allen has become the greatest protector of the football in the sport.
There is Dan Levitard talking about the evolution of Bills quarterback Josh Allen. Yes, he went from horribly inaccurate, can't hit the broadside out of a barn, very accurate, couldn't stop turning the ball over, and now he protects the ball arguably better than anyone else. Levitard said there, protecting the ball better than anyone in the sport. We go now to the Wester Hotline as the Bills are back to practice today as they get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs, a rematch of the 2020 AFC Championship game. Sal, how are we doing this morning?
Pretty good. Rematch of that game, rematch of the following year in the divisional round, rematch of last year in the divisional round. You know, I was thinking, and I said this, I think, maybe already on the air once, but maybe not to you guys. That game, AFC Championship game, that was the COVID season. We did not travel as a radio broadcast crew. I was not at that game. I was here in Buffalo. Was not able to call that game. We weren't able to call it. Of course, Merce was play-by-play at the time. And we did the game here remotely, which, you know, obviously, so I'm looking forward to this game for sure. It's, you know, to be on the field. I mean, there's going to be a celebration one way or the other. And obviously, we hope it's, you know, for the good guys here.
Yeah, I don't need another Stephon Diggs pose. I don't need that.
We got that the other night in the national championship.
Did we?
The Notre Dame coach.
Oh, Marcus Freeman.
He was, like, standing outside the locker room watching the TV of the celebration. It wasn't quite, like, the Diggs pose, but it was close enough.
I don't need another.
It was
one
close
of those.
It was close enough for Twitter to make a small meme about it for like 5 minutes, and then they moved on.
Oh boy.
Well, let's hope we have a different problem on our hands and how we're going to handle a stage and celebration and trophy and all that kind of thing. Because that's what I think about. Like, what does it look like afterwards? I mean, this is new territory for me calling a game in this situation.
Sal, one thing I got from BuffaloBills.com, they were doing kind of their five storylines to watch, and I knew the Bills and Chiefs had played a lot. I did not realize this is going to be their ninth time overall since 2020, fourth time in the postseason, but it's a fun thing that I got from this. They're the first pair of non-divisional quarterbacks to meet nine times in five seasons since the span going
Amazing.
From 1963 to 67. Those last two quarterbacks, Jack Kemp, Len Dawson, Bills and Chiefs. They're not AFC
Amazing,
East
right?
rivals,
I mean, yeah,
but they might as well be.
No. So there's been like three different generations of Bills Chiefs. You had the 60s and the AFL, and you go back to what you just talked about, and the Bills played the Chiefs for the AFL championship, you know, back in 1966. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs won and went to the first Super Bowl. If the Bills had won that game, they'd be considered the Super Bowl I participants because it wasn't called the Super Bowl until a few years later when they went and retroed those names. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but when the first few were called the AFL-NFL championship game. So after like 3 years, they said, oh, it's called the Super Bowl, and they went back and renumbered 1, 2, and 3, and that's why the Chiefs were in Super Bowl I against the Green Bay Packers. The Bills would have been in that one had they won. And then, so they were really good teams then. And then you get to the 90s. And I remember I was inside this stadium. I'm standing outside the stadium right now, guys. And it's still cold out here outside the media room. It's pretty packed in the media room. So I'm out here. And I remember being inside this stadium in the 91 playoffs and again in the 93 playoffs. And of course, 91 was, the Bills win that game. That's Steve DeBerg, who is the quarterback for the Chiefs. And then in the 93 playoffs, it's Joe Montana. And a lot of people remember Joe Montana got knocked out of that game by Bruce Smith. He took a big hit. I think it was Smith. It wasn't his last game, though. He did play the next year. But again, those two teams met in the playoffs a couple of times, and the Bills won. Now, here we are again, 30-something years later, and these two teams are going at it again for the right to go to the Super Bowl, and we've been down this road again with the Kansas City Chiefs. So I do think there's some real good historical perspective here.
Sal, we've been talking a little bit this morning about just kind of how different this matchup feels this time around. I mean, it feels like both of these teams are once again playing the same style, but now it's that kind of like everybody eats mindset for both teams. I mean, if you look at the Chiefs, it's still kind of working out the same way. Like, how do you kind of look at this matchup and think, like, does it feel different for you, or is it about the same as it usually feels?
It does feel different in the style of play, right, and how these teams have been winning. And look, I say that while the Bills have actually, you know, scored over 30 points a game all these different times this year, and they, you know, set their franchise record. But let's be honest, like, the Bills, you know, the Bills' philosophy this year has been, we're not going to give you the ball, and we're going to take away the ball, and we're going to protect the football and not make mistakes. And the Chiefs' philosophy has kind of been the same thing, and but they've won like that. They've won lower-scoring games. The Bills and the Chiefs have... You guys played that clip, which is fascinating, that Dan Le Batard was just talking about Josh Allen being the greatest protector of the football in the sport. I'll take it a step further. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes, still incredibly, unbelievably talented. They make these Superman plays, and yet all three of them protect the football. Now, Mahomes did not protect the ball as well this year, especially early on, but I do think, I did read, or someone told me, I think today in Kansas City on a radio station I was on, I don't think they've turned the ball over since they played the Bills that week. I could be wrong.
No, that's
so
correct.
So he's protecting the ball as well. What's that?
That's correct. Yeah, it's stunning.
Yeah. So if you take a look at Lamar and Josh and Patrick and what they're doing, like, for these three guys, what I could argue easily are the three best in the sport, especially at how talented and, you know, wild plays they can make on their talent alone, and yet they've all become great protectors of the football, as Dan Le Batard called Josh Allen. And I think that's where the difference is, right? These two teams have kind of played a game this year where, hey, you know, it's like that Spider-Man meme, guys, where... Mm-hmm. You make a mistake. No, you make a mistake. No, you make a mistake. No, you make a mistake. I think that's really kind of how they played this year.
The documentary on these three in this era in like 25 years, Sal, is just going to be my favorite thing in the world. Yeah, I need a single Super Bowl so that it's not a tragic documentary like Four Falls. But for today, the Bills get back to practice. I assume it's going to be a walkthrough today like normal. But
yes,
there's some injury, you know, quote unquote injury concerns. We don't know if Matt Milano was hurt. We know it's a little weird how it was worded on Monday, but could be nothing.
Let me walk through everything for everybody today. So we're down here at One Bills Drive. Sean McDermott's going to speak here at 12 noon. We'll get an idea on the injury front. We do know that Christian Benford is in the league's concussion protocol. That will not change today. You know, he's going to progress through that. We'll see if he's available on Sunday, but you never know with that. We know Ray Davis was in the same situation last week. He did wind up practicing on Wednesday in a limited capacity. And when that happened, that was very encouraging. And of course, that led to him being cleared and playing on Sunday. Maybe that happens. We'll find out. We also know that Taylor Rapp had a hip injury during the game last week. And he, I'll tell you, being right down there, when he got loaded on that cart last week, he was in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And we were told in the sidelines he was going in to get x-rays. And then we were told that he was out, so that did not sound good. It didn't look good. But Sean McDermott on Monday said he's day-to-day. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to practice today. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't practice today. It is only a walkthrough, but we'll see. If he is limited, that would be really great news. And, I mean, I'm astonished that he was even considered day-to-day after what we saw. Then there's the mystery of Matt Milano. And I say that this way because Matt Milano came off the field during the final drive. He was on the field for like the first two or three plays of the Ravens. And there is some video that shows him chasing down Lamar. And as he kind of hit Lamar, it looked like he kind of had a little hitch in his giddy up. Like just a tiny little, but we couldn't see because the All-22, the TV never showed the whole angle. But he didn't play after that. But he also never went into the medical tent. He never went into the locker room. And he was on the sidelines. He didn't even play on the two-point conversion after that. Sean McDermott was asked on Sunday, you know, why that was. And he was asked specifically, is there an injury concern? Did he not play because of injury? And Sean said, not to my knowledge. But he also added that he hadn't had an update on anything from his training staff and Nate Bresky. And I think that's where the mystery comes in. Like, was there something that they were... that came up with Milano that they were looking at? What is that, two separate issues? No, he wasn't on the field because of an injury then, but so we saw something afterwards. I don't know. I don't really know. So let's just kind of wait here. About 15 minutes from now, we'll hear from Sean McDermott, and maybe he doesn't mention Matt Milano at all. And if that's the case, then that's great. Good to go. If he does, then obviously there's something to talk about.
waiting with bated breath now at this point. Sal, last thing here before we let you get out of here, get you ready for Sean McDermott. Ilyanku, he's back on the Bills practice squad. They released quarterback Anthony Brown. I saw a few reports of that yesterday, but now it's official today.
Yeah, so Ilyanku is back. You know, he's been such a trooper over the last couple of years, actually, on and off the practice squad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he comes up and he's on the practice squad today. And Anthony Brown is no longer in the practice squad. Anthony, good job. You did your job last week to get the team ready to face Lamar Jackson. But that's how this works. That's what a practice squad is literally for, to give a look to the starters of what they're going to see. And obviously facing a defensive line with, you know, Chris Jones and Amenihue. I mean, obviously there a guy like Ilyanku can help out to give a look there. But, you know, Ilyanku comes back onto the Bills roster today. Also of note, I don't know if they will do this, but Baylen Spector is eligible to come off from IR. He could be designated to return, meaning he can practice. They can open his practice window. I wrote that on Twitter, and obviously there were a lot of people saying, no, don't do that. Joe Andreessen's the backup, and I don't disagree. Listen, just because Baylen Spector practices doesn't mean he has to be activated. And honestly, guys, there's no downside if he practices and he gets designated to return. He gets 21 days. Then what you're doing is if he practices, what you're doing is you're making sure you're ramping him up in case there is an injury and they do win and have to play in a few weeks in New Orleans and you have another guy there.
Yep, always got to think about, you know, games down the line.
You got it.
All right, Sal, we'll let you get ready for McDermott. Thanks for jumping on with us, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, guys, thanks a lot. Talk to you then.
Sal Capaccio right there on the West Her Hotline, getting ready for Sean McDermott, going to be speaking in just about 12 to 13 minutes here. I'm seeing Joe Marino a few hours ago tweeting out the Patrick Mahomes versus the Bills in the regular season and against the Bills in the playoffs. Something's got to give, man. Mm-hmm. Something's got to give.
Yeah.
1-4 in the regular season, about 65 completion percentage, 260 yards passing, 10 touchdowns, 7 picks, an 85.9 passer rating in the playoffs, 3-0. 75.2 completion percentage, 306 passing yards per game, 8 touchdowns, no picks, a 126.6 passer rating. You did well against Lamar. You got him to kind of keep, quote-unquote, playing playoff Lamar. He had 2 turnovers, the fumble, the interception. Something's got to give. It feels like their time. It feels like they're due. We talked with Aaron about it. Like it's chock full in sports of guys who or teams couldn't get past a single entity or a team. Jordan and the Pistons. I brought up Steve Young and the Cowboys. There was always that group. Now, of course, us as Bills fans go, yeah, but you also probably told somebody you're not going to lose 4 straight Super Bowls and you did. So I get it, but this just it feels different. Feels like they are a better matchup for the Chiefs than they were for the Ravens. I don't think Chiefs fans are thrilled to be playing the Bills. I think they would have rather actually played the Ravens because they match up better with them. And look, ultimately, the Bills aren't scared of Arrowhead. Look at the regular season stats.
Yeah,
Mahomes is 1-4.
Right, and it's not been a problem for the Bills. They lost one time at Arrowhead, I think.
That would be in 2020, I believe.
Yeah, so I mean, at that point, it's
no.
Like,
that 2020 that was in Buffalo.
2020 playoffs was in Arrowhead.
Right.
I thought you were talking about the 2020 regular season.
Right. So yeah, it's just I just look at like it's not a fact of. You're playing in their place. It's not a fact of anything. It's just the fact that, for whatever reason, he's been able to turn it on in the playoffs. But it's not going to happen every year. It's not going to happen the same way every year.
Yeah, your last 3 regular season matchups in Arrowhead, you've won. You've lost in 2020 playoffs in Arrowhead. You lost in 21 at Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm.
Something's got to give.
Yeah.
Something's got to give. If they lose, though, because it popped in my head, so I'm going to say it.
Wait.
Is it going to feel like it's an insurmountable thing if they lose on Sunday?
No. No, I don't think it is. Because every time you've seen this loss happen, it's been a different way.
Yeah, which doesn't give me a lot of confidence, personally, for me.
No, see, I think the reason it would feel insurmountable is it's every single time it happens the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, run of games where it's you're losing all these playoff games, 13 seconds, first AFC Championship game, because I feel like that always gets glossed over because of 13 seconds.
Yeah, because of what comes next year.
So with the first AFC Championship game, they were just flat out better than you, right? Like it looked like that for most of the game.
Quote unquote cowardly on 4th downs.
Yeah, yeah. It was never really a contest for most of the game. That was just kind of its own thing. Your team grew from that. Next year, you go out, you have an incredible offensive performance, and you just fall apart a little bit defensively, and you lose 13 seconds. Tough, hard. Next year, Bengals, obviously that. And then the year after, or no, I'm sorry. Wait, am I getting this right? I
got they played again in the playoffs in 23. They lose to the Bengals in 22.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So then 23, it's okay. How do we overcome this? Oh, they're in our place this time. That's great. Right. Like, let's see if it's any different. Something else happens where it's, you know, you're not making the right calls offensively. Your offense is kind of sputtering a little bit, but your defense kind of keeps you where you need to be. That's where it's different for me. Every single loss is something different where you're learning and you're growing. If it was the same thing every time, like, oh, your defense is getting torched every single playoff game, or your offense is just not getting up and not doing what it needs to do, then it would feel insurmountable because it's like, well, okay, we get to the same point every year and we make the same mistakes. It's different mistakes every time, so you can learn each time. Hopefully, this one is the, all right, we figured it all out. We've learned all our lessons. Let's go win this thing.
Something's got to give. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here for just a little bit longer until 12 o'clock before we get you over to Sabres Live. This is WGR.